Since the Korean War ended in 1953, some 200,000 South Korean children were adopted by foreign families. Most of those families were American. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Seoul about one project that helps the adopted children tell their stories.
Denver-based filmmakers Glenn and Julie Morey recently came out with an audio-video art installation. For it, they interviewed 100 Korean adoptees. Glenn is an adoptee himself. His wife is not.
It is first and foremost a historical record of 60-plus years of intercountry adoption out of South Korea, which set the precedent for intercountry adoption out of other countries.
Morey set out to record the history of a human diaspora. He also sought to better understand himself and what it means to be an ethnic Korean and involuntary immigrant to the U.S. Morey says that his interviews show that while the adoptees' lives start out in similar ways, they turn out very differently. Yet you can see certain common threads connecting the stories. One of them is this.
A sense of loss, sadness, and perhaps even trauma related to thinking about or remembering, in some cases, their time in Korea and how their lives got started.
I feel like I was sold. I feel like I don't know who I am. I don't even know if my name is real or my birth date is real.
In Maury's project, the interviewees are identified only by their year of birth and year of adoption. This woman, born in 1979, talks about her separation from her birth family.
I'm pretty much cursed with this, and that's why I'm mad, because it wasn't my fault. And for the rest of my life, I have to feel like I don't belong.
Glenn Morey says there's another common thread running through his interviews.
The displacement and alienation of being raised then as a Korean in a Western country, primarily surrounded by white culture and white society.
Another interviewee, born in 1974, remembers her experiences.
There was another family, adopted, Korean adopted kids too, but I never feel like I could relate to them. I often felt like I was white. I never thought I was actually Asian until later on in life.
Maury's own story fits seamlessly into the mosaic of interviews he created. Like many of his interviewees, he does not know who his birth parents are.
I was abandoned in Seoul as a newborn infant at the age of 2 weeks. And I was abandoned in Seoul to an orphanage and adopted 6 months later to a family in the U.S. And so my interest in this project is intensely personal.
The adoptees' stories create an alternative to the narrative about adoptions put forward by adoption agencies and governments. That narrative often portrays adoption as an act of Christian charity, whose recipients are the lucky ones. Many adoptees in Maury's film do express thanks for the happiness and opportunities that adoption gave them, but they don't all have such happy outcomes. And experts say that South Korea's system of adoptions needs fixing.
If we ask whether the state has fulfilled its duty to protect children in Korean society, we have to say that it has completely lost that opportunity.
That's Kyung-un Lee. She used to be a South Korean official working on adoption policy. She's now director of Amnesty International Korea. She points out that according to international law, children must not be separated from their parents unless a court rules it's in the kid's interest. But South Korea has essentially robbed children of legal protection, she argues, by leaving it to parents and adoption agencies to make the decisions, which South Korean courts simply rubber stamp. She also argues, in English, that South Korea's government has allowed children's identities to be erased in order to make them more adoptable.
They were made orphan. Actually, you know, these kids were not really adopted. They were just delivered to the United States. No such thing that we can call an adoption procedure.
Lee says adoptees are often deprived of their right to a name, a nationality, and family information because birth records are often falsified. This makes the children more adoptable. It also makes it harder for them to know who they are and where they came from. Song Chang-hyun, an official with the Ministry of Health and Welfare, declined to be interviewed. He said by email that since reforms in 2013, the government has improved court hearings, official oversight, and management of records in order to protect adoptees' rights. But Kyung-un Lee says reforms have failed to fix the problem.
The adoption law, even after many amendments, to this day is basically still a law that produces orphans.
The government has been motivated, she adds, by the drive to make money and reduce its welfare burden, she says, and the desire to purge stigmatized groups, such as children who are of mixed race, born out of wedlock, or disabled. But Glenn Morey says he did not undertake his oral history project with overhauling the South Korean adoption system in mind.
I'm a storyteller. I believe in the power of human stories to create empathy. And I believe that's what these stories do. Do they direct us toward better policy decisions? I don't know. That's for someone else to decide. But I know that these stories can create more empathy for the lives that these folks have lived.
Morey's interviews encompass the nearly seven-decade-long history of Korean international adoptions. A lot has changed during that time. South Korea has grown wealthy. Attitudes towards immigration and race in the U.S. have evolved. But Morey says that the key elements of adoptees' stories, particularly the lifelong search for identity, remain largely the same. And South Korea continues to send adoptees overseas, although at a slower rate than at the peak in the 1980s. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.